روح الله الموسوی الخمینی. But who was روح الله موسوی الخمینی? What was his influence in the making of our today's global society? What would have a world been like if there was never Ayatollah Khomeini? In the West, he's the embodiment and the initiator of global jihad, radicalism and Islamic fundamentalism. But for many others, he means something much more deeper and much more complex. What is Ayatollah Khomeini to you? This is a question I'm asking in this edition of The Link, the show that links the news with the views. Not only that, the show that links our global audience members in Tehran with audience members in London as well as Beirut. Ruhollah Mousavi al-Khomeini, what does he mean to you? Let me start off with our global audience members in London. What does Ayatollah Khomeini mean to you guys? If I were to ask you, what is that first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word Khomeini? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? Go ahead.
The perception we're given in the West is that the Ayatollah is very fundamental, quite extreme in his views, and quite fanatical. And that's a perception that we're given.
Let me ask another audience member. What is Ayatollah Khomeini to you guys?
Yeah, I think the criticism that the Ayatollah receives is, I think, is quite unjust because, I think Western politicians would use religion to their advantage as well in their policies. For example, I think it was just only recently that Obama addressed the Turkish parliament, where he said that the US, quote, is not at war with Islam. So basically, by addressing the Turkish parliament with religion, I think, he gained support or whatever he wanted. So I think, criticism of leaders for influencing politics is not really just. So.
But what is Imam Khomeini to you?
Well, I think I see Ayatollah as, just a person, a normal person. So I don't think that criticism, of how he influenced politics is really, makes any difference, because at the end of the day, he's a religious figure to other people.
Let me get another audience member's perspective in London before I go to Beirut. The man is sitting at the very front with the blue shirt.
Yeah, the situation that comes across is that Khomeini is actually quite a very stringent and strict individual who does look for punishment by those who actually cause trouble. My opinion of him is that he is quite strict in his views, very unorthodox in a lot of ways, and somewhat dangerous in some respects.
Dangerous, fanatic, and strict in his views. That is the perspective that our London audience members have of Ayatollah Khomeini. Let me turn to Beirut. How is Ayatollah Khomeini perceived in the Arab world, in Lebanon, in Beirut, in that studio?
During Shah period time, Iran was under U.S. government control until a light came from heaven, Ruhullah al-Musawi al-Khomeini, who transferred Iran from a weak nation to a very strong nation, which, on my opinion, Iran must be now the sixth country holding veto in the United Nations, because it's very powerful now. And I tell the evil governments, if they attack Iran, Iran is not Milosevic, Iran is not Saddam, Iran God's hands on earth, and Haras al-Thawri, they are the hands of God.
But what is Ayatollah Khomeini? What is Imam Khomeini to you yourself? What does he embody?
Imam Khomeini, he's the light. He's the words from God. He's the light from God. God sent him. To me, it's not coincidence, Imam Khomeini, he's on earth.
So a divine perception of him. Let me get the perspective of another audience member in Beirut. Go ahead.
Good evening. In my opinion, Grand Ayatollah Khomeini is a charismatic leader of immense popularity, and he's considered a champion of Islamic revival by Shia people. And I consider that the Iranian revolution that he has led was a truly pivotal event in modern history.
What you're reading off the text is very beautiful and pretty, but what is Imam Khomeini to yourself? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of this character?
As my friend here said, he's a light. He's a ruhullah in full meaning. He gave us light to continue to fight for our rights here as a Shiite people. Yeah, that's
light, a divine character in Beirut, fanaticism, strict and orthodox rules in the United Kingdom. What is Imam Khomeini to you guys here in Iran? Go ahead, character.
He was a great man. He had a great influence among Muslims and among other people around the world.
So influential,
yeah,
in all around the world. Let me get your perspective.
Well, hi, my name is Atiya. To me, Imam Khomeini is like the father of our nation. That's what I remember of him as a child.
The father of nation. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hello, I'm Nusheen. I think Ayatollah Khomeini was a hero of Iran. He helped us to find ourselves, our talent, our ability, in order to actually make everything that we can do with. And also, he helped us to step on our feet. So we can never find anyone like Imam Khomeini.
So that independent aspect of him is something that excites you. Let me go to our Beirut audience members. How much of the character of Ayatollah Khomeini do you think belongs to Iran? Or he's something that is rather more international? Should we be specific in the form Khomeini in terms of Iranian history, or he transcends nationality and, in a sense, time, I guess?
Hi, my name is Karim, and I believe that he is the Iranian leader. I believe he is very loved. He is a person that he's so loved by people that he doesn't even have to be in Iran, and during the revolution, he didn't have to be there, and people were just couldn't wait for his arrival. I believe he has such a strong influence because of his unselfishness, and people just loved him because of his, he was so humble and he didn't seek power, but he received so much power and received so much love and so much.
But my question to you is, you're an Arab Lebanese. Ayatollah Khomeini was an Iranian figure. What does he have to do with your identity?
I believe he was the leader of this Islamic revolution, like in Iran and in the whole world. So I believe he loved Palestine, he loved the Arabs, he loved the unity. So he really had a strong influence on me, just as he did on Iranians.
There was an audience member who wanted to make a comment in Beirut. Let's hear that before I go to London.
Hi, my name is Fatima. I think that Imam Khomeini wasn't just what he done doesn't just for Iran. I think he affected all of us, all the Islamic nations. We all were affected by what he done. He learned from the school of Karbala, and he let us learn from what he done. He rescued the Shias at Iran, but this also rescued us here at Lebanon, at Palestine, at everywhere. They all get lesson from what he done, and let us all work the way and be courage like him.
Let me go to London. Ayatollah Khomeini is perceived as the father of Iran, the independent Iran. In Beirut, he's viewed upon as the leader of Islamic world. In London, the perception was, you know, that he's this orthodox religious, this strict character. What do you think explains this sort of diversity of perception towards Ayatollah Khomeini?
From the Iranian perspective, obviously he was a leader and a great leader and somebody with compassion. But everybody seems to have their invested interest. And who's to say who's right? We get one view from one person and one sort of like side of the world, and then another from the other side. So it's difficult to obtain as to what is a reality as opposed to a fantasy.
Why do you think Ayatollah Khomeini is perceived as an enemy in the West?
Hello to Tehran and Beirut. I think he's an enemy in the West. He's perceived as an enemy because he was seen as a renegade and a more of a maverick politician, leader. And the West was frightened of his power and influence throughout the Arabic and Islamic world. The Iranians said that he gave them more empowerment, more belief in themselves, and belief to the Shiite people. And I think many people in the West were discouraged and affected by this.
What do you think was about his character and his personality that made him to be perceived in such threatening gesture and light?
Sorry, I'll go again. I think he was, because of his influence towards Islam, his powerful speech, his intolerance towards the Western culture, Western ways of living. He was very cultural and very very into his religion and his culture.
Let me get another audience member's in London's perspective.
I think Ayatollah was. I think Ayatollah or Iran was never in the interest of, Great Britain, as in, politically, financially. So I think that's when, that's even the coverage. You don't really see any coverage. If something happens in Iran, you don't really see any much coverage on British television, because I don't think, Britain in general sees, Ayatollah as an interest to Britain or the West.
Let me ask the same question from the lady who is sitting right behind you, the lady with the red shirt. What is it about his personality, his viewpoints, that would be a challenge to Western way of life?
My perception is a bit different. Like, I don't really agree that religion influences that much political life and so on. And I think that all religions, they just to force force people to do something they don't really like or they don't really need to do. And so I'm just a bit afraid of such religious so I don't think it's the best way to be somewhere and to get some results.
Religion is an agent of force. That's why Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini is not perceived as quite a charismatic character in the West. Your reaction? Go ahead.
At first, I want to say that when Imam in the Iran, Imam was an inspiration for Iranian. Now, European people and the people that there are in the other world, because they have the dark background of the religion, because they have the bad background of the medieval time. Yes, on that time, bishop here in the church, they killed people. They die power with the kings. And I think because they don't know anything about the real religion that the Imam said. Imam said that religion is as a system that we can manage the world, the country, with religions.
And so essentially what you're saying is the perception of Christianity and the West of Christianity that has been extended, and that sort of draws the perception of the West towards Ayatollah Khomeini. We're done for this section of the show. We're going to take a look at a selection of Ayatollah Khomeini's speeches, and then we'll go to the links room. Don't go away.
استقلال یک کشوری اگر بخواد حفظ بشه باید مردم احساس کنند که ما استقلال میخواییم آزادی یک کشوری باید مردم احساس کنند که ما آزادی میخواییم تنفر از این که ما در تحت رهبری و نمیدونم در تحت ذلت کشورهای چیز باشیم برای شکممون باید ملت این رو احساس کند که ما عروسک خارجی را نمیخوایم که ما عروسک بدیم و خودمون را تسلیم کنیم و جوان ها مطمئن باشن که امریکا هیچ غلطی نمیتوند بکند بی خود صحبت این که اگر دخالت نظامی
مگه امریکا میتونه دخالت نظامی در این مملکت بکنه؟ در صدد این باشید که اولا مغزهای اون را اونها را از این چیزی که پر کردن ازش، این مغزهایی که پر شده است از این که مغز شرقی را برداشتن جاش مغز غربی گذاشتن، شستشو کنید، بهشون حالی کنید که نه شما خودتون مفاخر داشتید، خودتون فرهنگ دارید، خودتون همه چیز دارید.
اگر مقصود از وحشی این است که رام نیستند در مقابل اون چیزایی که شما میخواهید، گاوی شیرده نیستند، این را شما اسمش را وحشی میذارید بگذارید. وحشی اون است که نمیگذارد مردم زورمندا به او تعدی کنند، یا وحشی اون است که میخواد تعدی کنند. شما گمان نکنید که خارجی ها و اجناب اونها در این کشور کودتا میکنند. نمیکنند، چون نمیتونند. کشوری که همش مهیاست برای شهادت، نمیتونند که اونها در اینجا وارد بشند. لکن از داخل ما را میپوسونند. یکی از مواردی که الان انگشت اونها در کار است و با جدیت دارند توطئه میکنند این است که دودستگی بندازند بین اشخاصی که در انتخابات بردند یا به اصطلاح باختند. با این تعبیر زشت برد و باخت، شکست و فیروزی، با این تعبیرهای زشت میخوان بین ملت ما اختلاف اندازند.
میدانیم که حساب جامعه یهود غیر حساب جامعه اونها هستند و ما با اونها مخالف هستیم و مخالفتمون برای این است که اونها با همه ادیان مخالف هستند. اونها یهودی نیستند، اینها یه مردم سیاسی هستند که به اسم یهودی یه کارهایی را میکنن و یهودی ها هم از اونها متنفر هستند و همه انسان ها از اونها باید متنفر باشن.
از قراری که شنیدم رئیس جمهور آمریکا گفته است که ایران ما را تحقیر کرد، این اول کار است. ایران تا آخر شما را تحقیر خواهد کرد.
Welcome to the links room, where I'll link you with opinions in the cyber world on today's program. Let's just start off with the link cyberspace. Natasha sent us an email from Los Angeles giving us her memory of Imam Khomeini's demise. She writes, I don't know so much about Ayatollah Khomeini, but I remember our Iranian neighbor in LA, California, crying so loud when they had heard the news of the death of Ayatollah Khomeini. It was very weird for us to see an entire family crying over the death of a politician, but there was something unusual and mysterious about the way they felt, which I could not fully understand. I guess a lot of it had to do with the differences between our culture and the Iranian culture. Adding us on Skype for an interview, Hata from Norway was inspired by Imam Khomeini's contribution to the making of today's world. Here's what he had to say.
As an Iranian living abroad, I have to clarify the reason that he is one of my historical heroes. The importance of Imam Khomeini, in my view, is in his noble reading of Islam. If you look at the past centuries, Islam, and in particular Shia, which in its own essence is based on anti-autocratic and anti-colonialism movements, had been converted to a weak and debilitated ideology, which instead of standing against the tyrannies, was working somehow as a tool for justification of imperial autarky. So I believe that Imam Khomeini is one of the first Muslims in the history who dared to read this post-colonial and post-structural point of view, not only in theory but also in practice. And he, with his unique and special charisma, established a state that is both Islamic and Republic, and it has abided and resisted against all means of colonial pressure for more than 30 years. So thank you again for giving me the time to talk about Imam Khomeini tonight. Thank you again.
Now let's check out what is out there in the web world. rkhomeini.com is where you can find all about Imam Khomeini's life, books, as well as his speeches. Or if you want to know more about his statements, you can log into an interesting selection of quotes at quotestar.com. There's also a page of an Iranian woman's weblog, shahzad.wordpress.com, is where the blogger gives her childhood memory of the late Imam Khomeini's demise and how things seemed then compared to now. And for those who are interested in Imam Khomeini's pieces of mystical poems as well as books such as 40 Hadith, there is enimam-khomeini.com. Now let's check out what we're discussing next week. Israeli attack against the Gaza Freedom Flotilla. Do you view the incident as another instance of Israeli offensive or as a new beginning in the future makeup of Israel and the region? Like always, www.presstv.ir/thelink is where you can go and join our forum discussion. You can also add us on Skype. The.link2 is our Skype account. Add us, we'll record your views and run the best ones in the show. Or simply shoot us an email, thelink@presstv.ir. Let's go for the recap of the news hour. When I'm back, I'll be joined with my guests, Professor Hamid Algar from Berkeley, California, and Dr. Rebecca Masterton from London. What do these guests, as well as our audience members, have to say about Ayatollah Khomeini? For that, stay tuned for the second half of The Link. The link, Ayatollah Mousavi al-Khomeini, what does he mean to you? This is the question that we're asking in this section of The Link. In this section, I'm joined by Professor Hamid Algar, Professor of Persian and Islamic Studies. Join me from University of California in Berkeley. Welcome, Professor, to the show. I'm also joined by Dr. Rebecca Masterton, author and senior lecturer from Islamic College in London. Welcome, both of you, to the show. Let me start off with you, Professor Algar. Ayatollah Khomeini is known as the initiator of Islamic fundamentalism, global jihad, fanaticism in our contemporary history. What do you think explains this sort of depiction of him?
Well, a number of things. Firstly, this is an expression of what I call the terminological war against Islam that is part of the overall hostility, endemic and continuing hostility, of the Western powers, notably Britain and the United States, towards Islam. These terms are fundamentally meaningless. You know, fundamentalism is a fundamentally meaningless term. It simply means that they do not approve. The question is, why do the opinion makers and the propagandists in the West disapprove of the Imam? Because he was able, by drawing on the vast cultural and spiritual resources of Islam, particularly in its Shia expression, to bring an end to an abominable and treacherous regime in Iran, that of the Shah, which was closely allied with the racist state of Israel, and to produce for the first time in the history of the Islamic Middle East a truly independent government that reflected the values and the dignity of the Islamic Ummah. It's very simple.
Hmm. Professor Agar, you've previously stated that Imam should not be regarded simply as a figure who inaugurated a turning point in Iranian history. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that his vast political achievement is, of course, that which is most obvious to us. But on the other hand, it should not be forgotten that by the time that he embarked on his profoundly influential and blessed political activity, he had behind him many years of study, of contemplation, of prayer, and also of writing. If we seek to reduce the Imam to his political dimension, important though that was, we are essentially doing him, or better to say, ourselves, an injustice. Because we see that the Imam was one who was deeply versed in all dimensions of Islam, not only as a scholar and as a writer, but also as one who manifested them in his personal life.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. Dr. Masterton, you've extensively have written on the non-political Khomeini. What do you mean by that?
A very important part of Imam Khomeini's work was based on what he called, or what is called in Islam, the jihad al-nafs. This is to do with the struggle of the soul. What Imam Khomeini was aiming to do when he was actually campaigning to fight against the injustice that was being imposed upon Muslims in Iran and around the world. He was striving for an inner awakening of the consciousness. So if we do just look at him within a political dimension, it means that we can never actually completely comprehend the aim of him, first of all, trying to not only politically liberate Muslims in Iran who were being arrested just for remembering the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. They were being persecuted in all kinds of ways for the interests of basically the US and the UK. There was that level of attempted liberation of Muslims in terms of at a social level, but he also warned the young people studying in the seminaries that they must undertake the jihad al-nafs, or the struggle of the soul, themselves. They must learn to master themselves, otherwise, once they leave the seminary, they could actually damage Islam. And they could actually damage Imam Khomeini's own vision for what he wanted for Muslims across the world.
So, thank you very much, Dr. Masterton. Let me turn to Professor Algar. Dr. Masterton was talking about Imam Khomeini, speaking of jihad al-nafs, sort of having a struggle with the self, but he was quite persistent in his rhetoric against the United States of America as well as Israel. What do you think was the root cause of all this?
The point of the fact is, of course, that the United States had been engaged in interference in the affairs of Iran at least since 1953, and not content with supporting the criminal regime of the Shah. After the triumph of the revolution, in a variety of ways, the United States also continued to pursue its hostility against the Islamic Republic, a pattern which we see continued right down to the present day. As for Israel, Israel is in itself a totally illegitimate entity imposed by force and with the patronage of Western powers, primarily again Britain and America, on the Muslim territory of Palestine. And one cannot reasonably speak of hostility when it comes to the desire of those who are the subjects of aggression, oppression, intervention, the desire to resist. This is something entirely different. It cannot adequately be characterized as hostility.
You spoke of resistance. A lot of people have compared Ayatollah Khomeini with Mahatma Gandhi in India. How accurate do you think is that comparison?
Well, it's in some ways, I guess, a tempting comparison. If we have an apologetic attitude towards the West, which personally, thank God, I do not, then we like to say that the Imam was comparable to somebody who is generally viewed in a favorable light in the West, namely Gandhi. I can think of aspects in common, aspects that are different. But from my point of view, the important thing is to recognize the Imam as he was in his own right. An embodiment, a living embodiment in vivid form of the principal dimensions of Islam, which are inextricably linked together. We see in the Imam an arif, a mystic, to use an inadequate translation. We see somebody who was deeply learned in fiqh, in jurisprudence. we see in him one who was indeed a mujahid, one who was engaged in jihad, not simply the jihad in nafs, the jihad akbar, of which our colleague has spoken, but also a struggle on the outer plane against the enemies of Islam. And it's gratifying to say that the Islamic Republic, even after his demise, has continued on this path.
Thank you very much. Dr. Masterton, Imam Khomeini envisioned a society in which religion, spirituality, is very much part of everyday life. What was his vision? What were the basis of his vision?
According to, obviously, it would be, this will be from an Islamic perspective, but that basis is what you could call the one underlying fundamental absolute reality of existence. So what he was aiming to do was to build a society that facilitated the means for all of us to engage in a path, a journey of the soul, where we can come to know that one underlying reality at the basis of all existence. And this is basically the Islamic model of society. So this was basically the absolute motivating and obviously illuminating point that motivated him.
Thank you very much, Dr. Masterton. Let's go to our last section of our show. Let's get linked.
To me, Imam Khomeini is like the father of our nation.
The Ayatollah is very fundamental, quite extreme in his views, and quite fanatical.
He had a great influence among Muslims and among other people around the world.
He is quite strict in his views, very unorthodox in a lot of ways, and somewhat dangerous in some respects.
During Shah period time, Iran was under U.S. government control until a light came from heaven, Ruhullah al-Musawi al-Khomeini, who transferred Iran from a weak nation to a very strong nation.
Ayatollah Khomeini was the hero of Iran. He helped us to find ourselves, our talent, our ability.
He was seen as a renegade and more of a maverick politician, leader, and the West was frightened of his power and influence throughout the Arabic and Islamic world.
If we seek to reduce the Imam to his political dimension, important though that was, we are essentially doing him, or better to say, ourselves, an injustice.
He was striving for an inner awakening of the consciousness, but he also warned the young people studying in the seminaries that they must undertake the jihad al-nafs, or the struggle of the soul, themselves. They must learn to master themselves, otherwise, once they leave the seminary, they could actually damage Islam.
He gave us light to continue to fight for our rights.
The important thing is to recognize the Imam as he was in his own right, an embodiment, a living embodiment, in vivid form of the principal dimensions of Islam.
Welcome to the last section of our show. Let's get linked. This is the section where our audience members ask each other questions. Let me go to our London audience members. There was an audience member who wanted to raise a question. Go ahead with your question.
Well, I was going to ask whether, if he was still alive, whether he would have an influence or an impact over the world, and especially what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Okay, let's have that question asked from our audience members in Tehran. If he was around, what would have been his influence in the region? Go ahead.
I think that Imam's deeds and actions was mainly based on Islamic criteria, and he can be typical person for all those who want to make actions and deeds on Islamic basis.
But give me specific answers. If he was here today, right now, what would have been his contribution? What would have been his influence? Go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is Parham. Well, from the very beginning, we can see that we have two totally separate points of view. One, finding Imam Khomeini as totally a kind of spiritual figure full of, sentimentalism. But the other audiences, especially the Londoners, find him as a kind of, mechanical figure. Well, to us, actually, Imam Khomeini, especially to me, was a sustainer, was a savior, was a deliverer. And he was really multidimensional. And answering this question, I believe that he is still alive. There is no death for Imam Khomeini, for the movement that he made. Actually, what Professor Algar mentioned was so illuminating to me. Well, we can find clear answers. Once you have technical and too mechanical and rigid views toward a person, there is no outway, there is no result for you other than fear. Well,
let me pose that question to Professor Algar. If Ayatollah Khomeini was present right now, what would have been his influence on today's global order?
Well, of course, very difficult to hypothesize, but one thing is for sure, that he would have continued to stand against aggression to which significant parts of the Muslim world are still subject. He would have continued to stand very strongly against the threats emanating from the United States of America. He would also have continued to stress the great importance of Sunni-Shi'i unity. One of the current themes of American propaganda is that Iran and the Arabs are at loggerheads, and that Iran as a Shia country represents a threat to the Sunni world, which is, of course, blatant nonsense. However, if the Imam were alive, then I think this overarching importance of continued Islamic unity will perhaps be made more apparent than it is now.
Is there anyone in among our Beirut audience members who would like to pose a question to our audience members, either in Tehran as well as London?
Hi again. I would like to ask Professor Algar a question.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Please.
Ayatollah Khomeini is usually known as Imam Khomeini inside Iran and amongst his followers internationally, and Ayatollah mm-hmm. Khomeini outside of the country.
Right.
And the question is, how easy it is to be an academic in the West and call Ayatollah Khomeini Imam Khomeini? Thank you.
There's a question for you, Professor Algar.
Okay, thank you very much. I have actually just retired after 45 years of teaching here in the University of California. And I can tell you that those 45 years have not been without their difficulties. Calling the Imam as Imam, which in my view is far more adequate than Ayatollah, has been maybe an indication of my attitudes, my sympathies, my inclinations, which have indeed caused me difficulties over the years. But alhamdulillah, I have survived, and now I am entering into my retirement. And inshallah, I will continue to engage in useful activities, writing, lecturing, and so forth.
Let me have that audience member in London to pose his question. Go ahead.
I think as a Sunni Muslim myself, I don't think, calling a religious leader the name that he is given is actually a problem, because anyone who call a bishop a bishop, or anyone who call imam or a priest a priest. So I don't think calling the Ayatollah Imam would be an actual problem, because it wouldn't contradict to anyone else's beliefs.
I have a question from the SU members in London.
I want to say that unfortunately the media invest always says Imam Khomeini as Ayatollah Khomeini, never says Imam Khomeini. BBC, CNN, Fox News, Sky News never says Imam Khomeini, and never, they only says Iran revolution, they never says Islamic revolution. Why, what is the what is the goal of West, Western media to use these words except those?
So, Imam Khomeini is always called the Ayatollah, not Imam Khomeini. Why do you think that's the case, audience members in London?
I think the Western media and Western civilization in general is holistically ignorant on Islam. I think we're ignorant on Islam and the terminologies, Imam, Ayatollah, etc. And we don't pay too much attention to titles so much as they do in Islamic world. So I think that answers your question. We don't really pay too much attention to titles such as Imam, Ayatollah. We care about the specifics more. In general.
Okay, let's have Professor Alger to give the wrap-up of the show. Go ahead, Professor Alger.
Well, I'm not quite sure how to summarize all of the diverse comments and observations that I've heard. I think one general conclusion is justified, namely that the personality of the Imam, and by personality I mean his spiritual, intellectual, political personality, not his character as an individual human being, remains inadequately known. And it is especially important for everyone in the Muslim world to examine the legacy of the Imam in its various aspects. And I would say that in the first place, this is incumbent upon the people of Iran. Why? Because 30 years after the triumph of the revolution, they are still living a life in a free and an independent country where a number of problems remain that need to be solved. But they are in an incomparably better situation than those who live in countries that are still under Western control or subject to external aggression. It is very easy to invoke the name of the Imam. It is important to go beyond a simple invocation of his name to examine precisely what he said and what he did in so many different and important respects.
Professor, we have the personality of Imam Khomeini, and we have the reality on the ground here in Iran. You're an old supporter of the Iranian Islamic Revolution. Mm-hmm. If you were to talk to Iranian authorities, what would be your message to them?
My aspiration for Iran is that the existing problems on various levels, social, political, cultural, above all economic, should be solved for the sake of internal cohesion and solidarity, and in order to do justice precisely to the legacy and the message of Imam Khomeini. The slogan that was raised during the revolution retains validity. Ta khun dar rag mast, Khomeini rahbar mast. As long as there is blood in our veins, then Khomeini is our leader. And this, I think, is still true or ought to remain true. But let it not be a slogan, let it be a reality.
Dr. Masterton, let's have your final words as well.
Well, I think that it's been a great shame that over the past 25 years, Imam Khomeini has been depicted as a kind of caricature over in this part of the world, and that people have not had the means of gaining more knowledge about him. So I would just appeal to all the scholars on the ground to get translating. Please translate his works, get them published, get them distributed, and enable people to actually encounter this highly, highly intelligent man, and hopefully that will promote understanding as a start for these different parts of the world. Inshallah.
Thank you very much. Let me give the final word to that audience members of ours in Beirut. Go ahead with your words.
Finally, Imam Khomeini is the Imam and the leader of the suppressed people. And this is what we saw from the foreign affairs policy of Iran after the revolution and till nowadays. The support of the Palestinians, suppressed Palestinians, the support of the Lebanese national resistance in Lebanon, Hezbollah, these all for us means that Imam Khomeini is for all the people, not for only Iranians. Of course, he's Iranian, but he's for all suppressed people, and this is a blessing for us that we love them. We love him.
Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of this section of The Link here on Press TV. Many thanks to Professor Hamid Alger, who joined us from University of California in Berkeley, as well as Dr. Rebecca Masterton, all our audience members in Tehran, as well as London, as well as Beirut. Until next time, goodbye.